sit back and enjoy. Living in a motorhome with David Spurgeon, you'd have to have something going for you. And I know it's God, and I'm appreciative of it. Praise the Lord, it's good to be in church. It's Friday night. Amen. The world lives for Friday night. I did when I was lost. I was always out and about somewhere. Of course, most people work all week and then, you know, spend all their money and on the weekend. I didn't actually work. I helped other people spend all their money on Friday night. But I'm glad that as a Christian, I don't have to sit at home bored to death with nothing to do. Amen. I'm glad that we can come out and have a good time in the Lord on Friday night. And Lord willing, not do anything we're going to regret or not remember. Amen. Or wake up in the hospital or jail, all those things. And that's what's going to happen tonight. In a city like this, there's people that are going to step into eternity tonight. Right. Probably quite a few. And most of them aren't ready. And I'm glad I'm ready for that.
Amen.
But about the only thing that can happen tonight that you'll regret tomorrow is that if the Lord dealt with your heart about anything, whether it's salvation or anything that he might impress upon you in the message or the song service we just had, the only way you'd have a regret is if you didn't respond to the Holy Ghost. This is real. This isn't religion. Our Savior's alive and well.
Right. Amen.
This is a
Amen.
Personal thing. And the good news about it is if you don't respond to the Spirit of God tonight, and tomorrow you wake up and think you should have, and you know you should have, and you know there was something he was dealing with you about, and you missed it for whatever reason, pride, fear. The good news is about this, you can take care of that wherever you are right then. I mean, you don't have to wait till you get back to the church. You don't have to wait till the next meeting. You can get with God. If you're lost in here and on your way to a devil's hell and you don't get saved tonight and tomorrow morning you wake up and something provokes you to wish or wonder that you should have done it, do it right then. He made it easy enough that the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I did it alone in a jail cell, 6 o'clock in the morning, 23 years ago, and it took.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, what? Because I was honest with God. It's all there was. That's the ingredient. And it's the same way in your Christian life. When you hear a message, when you hear a song, when you hear an exhortation, when the still small voice of God just impresses you. That's how he works. That's why, like the preacher said, we gotta slow down. We gotta turn down the volume of the activity and oftentimes junk in our life. We gotta scale that thing back, and we have to make an effort. And I concur with Pastor Dean. I'm coast to coast. I'm with a lot of people. All Americans live life in the fast lane. But none of them like you guys. Now I'm again. But it's still just as important. You just have to make more of a concerted effort to try to just bring everything to a halt for just a little while. Don't worry, it's all going to be there when the service is over. But you could get something in here that'll help you. Amen. So, amen. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad to have friends. And I'm glad that First Bible Church is my friend.
Amen.
I really am. We love you guys.
Amen.
All right. Make sure we're on the literally on the same page.
Pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, and bread when I'm hungry and warm. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, my shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand is true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it costs just to hold in my hand, it reminds me that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who've gone to the stake and poured it with their dying breath. Now its critics are many and believers are few, and one thing I've found to be true: if you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand is true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
Amen. I was talking to Brother Mark last night, and I heard the gospel in the county jail on my way to federal prison, and I was my guard was up. I wasn't about to be flim-flam scammed by a couple of short-haired, tie-wearing religious guys. No way that was going to happen. But I tell you what I was willing to do. I was willing to listen to what the Bible said. I knew the Bible was God's book. I don't even know how I knew that. And so that's why what we got tonight, again, like Brother Dean said, it's not religion. Religion is something man made up. What we're part of tonight is Bible Christianity. Amen. And I am glad, I marvel daily that God let me get in on something as real as this, as something as big as this. Let me check with Mrs. Wonderful again. Did you sum up the courage to do that or not?
They look kind of scary.
Just give us a second. I think you can do it.
Right now?
Yeah, right now.
Okay.
Gets me off the hook.
Oh, this is... He's really praying for me. He knows I'm scared to death.
There's a cloud of many witnesses with Christ in heaven above, watching as we run this race. They cheer us on in love. There are faces we have seen before, and more we've never known. They fought the battle, took their stand. We reap what they have sown. So I'm not afraid to claim the name of Jesus. Ashamed to tell the world he's mine. Gladly I'll proclaim this gospel to all people. I'm not ashamed, I will claim his name. Now I take my stand in Jesus,
and serve the Lord today. I give my strength and purpose. I sing and work and pray. And though all the world may mock me or walk uncaring by, I'll stay with Christ my Savior. His name I'll not deny. So I'm not ashamed to claim the name of Jesus. I'm not ashamed to tell the world He's mine. Gladly I'll proclaim this gospel to all people. I'm not ashamed, I will claim His name. I am not ashamed, I am not ashamed. I will claim His name.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Is that it?
I think you should sing it again. Man, brother. Yeah, let's do that other one.
The other one.
Yeah, Friday. I live 600 miles from here. I'm not going home tonight. Everybody cool with that?
Is that what you want or you want?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do that one you had picked out. Thank you for doing that. Yay, man. All right, we're going to try that one. Sing long and preach short. What do you think?
He moves among us, and all that He does, all of His mercy and all of His love. If the pen of a writer could write every day, even this world could never contain how I have been blessed. In the winter, flowers in spring, the laughter of summer, the changing of leaves, food on my table, a good place to sleep, clothes on my back, shoes on my feet, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me, precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good, I have been blessed. Arms that will raise, and a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, legs that can walk, ears that can listen, and eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise Him as long as I breathe. I have been blessed. Father and mother, nurtured and raised, sisters and brothers, memories made, a pastor to lead us, this altar to pray, stripes that can heal, the blood that still saves, I have been thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's
not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind.
God has been good, so good, I have been blessed.
live in a country, the greatest honor. The flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All gave some, and some gave it all,
so we could be blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where he hides me under his wing. He's not just a song, he's the reason I sing. I have been blessed.
Come with that if you know it.
I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time.
So I'll just
thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Great.
All right. Preaching time. Lord willing. All right. I knew you could do it. Amen. All right. Am I on? Is this on? All that cool? We'll find out in a minute whether I'm on. Amen. But, amen. Okay. All right. Here we go. At the height of a political corruption trial in New York, the prosecuting attorney, really went after one of the witnesses. And he said, isn't it true that you accepted $5,000 to compromise this case? The witness just stared out the window as if he hadn't heard the question. And the prosecutor went in again. Isn't it true that you accepted $5,000? To compromise my case? And the witness still, he didn't respond. He just ignored the prosecutor. Finally, the judge leaned over and said, sir, I'm ordering you to answer the question. And the witness kind of jumped. He said, oh, I thought he was talking to you. Amen. Take your Bible tonight and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Say, why do you tell jokes? Because that's the only time some of you are going to smile all night. So you got to do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. All right, let me say something about that book. Have I said anything about the book yet? I forget all about it. All right, now, that book, I made a deal to self-publish that book right here in this parking lot. 3 years ago. And the Lord used that thing. And we've had some folks get saved because of it. And over 10,000 have been sold to try to get the gospel in the hands of people that, you know, aren't coming to church, the biker crowd. What gets me is that almost 5,000 of those were on e-books. And I'm having a hard time picturing a Hell's Angel with a Kindle. You know, I mean, we didn't have that kind of technology when I was running with the gangs. But here's what happened. It had pretty much run its course as far as I was concerned. The royalties were down and Amazon sales were down. And everywhere I've taken it in church, they've already read it, so I'm not selling very many. And I thought, well, that's okay. We got it out there. But in February, I got a call from a major publisher. And they said, we've been monitoring the book and the reviews on Amazon, over 100, and we want to make a deal. We want to buy the book. We want to put it in the bookstores. We want to promote that thing. And all I ever wanted was to get the gospel out, and they're trying to convince me to let them do that for me. I said, well, I'll have to pray about it. Okay. So the book is being re-released September 18th. They just moved the release date up 3 weeks since I've been here. And would you continue to pray about that thing? That the Lord would you know, I hope, I know what they want it because they want to make money. I understand it. And I wrote it so to get the gospel out. But if they make enough money, I'll make a little. And we can get a new motorhome. Pray, would you? Because we're wearing this one out. And we're content. But, you know, unless you want to get a call every 2 years for a new motor. Amen. Pray to God would sell that book. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15. All right. We're going to jump in right there, verse 15. It says, but he that has been, okay, let's read verse 14. The natural man, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. There's something that you just aren't going to be able to explain to somebody, not because they're hard or deep, it's just that without the Spirit of God inside of them kind of do the translation work, this is just another book. And so the Bible tells us that, and not to marvel at that. Our job and our goal ought to be to try to get people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because where you spend eternity is more important than understanding the deeper things. And so he gives us the reason, the natural man, the unsaved man, there's some things he's just not going to get. So don't kill yourself with arguing, amen, over things that don't matter. Let's concentrate prayerfully on the things that do matter. But then, so there's your natural man, but then it says in verse 15, but he that is spiritual, so there's the believer, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. But he that is spiritual, and listen, I am thrilled with the turnout this week. I have seen some growth and some old friends. I'm making new friends. It's wonderful. Amen. I don't care how late you come. Amen. We'll just sing until you get here. Amen, Brother Pat. And then we'll start preaching. Don't. And if you're just laying back to skip the offering, we're going to have another one after. Okay, I'm sorry. That's not true. I still have to say this. If you're in church here tonight and last night and you're saved and you, hey, listen, whether you've been saved a long time or a little while, it ought to be your desire. Amen. To be spiritual. Yeah. I mean, that's when you accept Christ as your Savior, there's a Spirit of God inside of you. You're sealed. Amen. And the Spirit of God wants you to be spiritual. It ought to be your desire to grow in spirituality. And so it says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. So, well, if you're going to be spiritual, then you're going to have to judge some things. Amen. So I want to help you with that tonight, because we all do it. We can't help it. We're wired to judge things. But that's okay. Because even though that's what we're prone to do, and that's even though we've been doing it all our lives, people, places, and things, we judge everything, it's okay. And not only is it okay, God expects us to. In fact, we're commanded to judge. Contrary to the judge not, lest you be judged crowd, we're supposed to judge some things. And now take your Bible, go to John 7. John chapter 7. But I want to help you tonight with this subject because it's important. And it's more than that. I mean, well, maybe not more than that, but it's definitely what the Lord laid on my heart to preach tonight. So I trust it'll be a blessing to you, maybe in spite of me. But if you'll just look at the verses and see what I'm trying to say, then the Spirit of God will give you something. John chapter 7 and 24, the difference between what we're supposed to do, judge all things, to be spiritual, and what we actually do because we judge everything anyway, is here in the verse. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So I want to preach tonight on this thought, righteous judgment. If we're going to do it, and we're going to do it, then we need to do it right. And if the Bible tells us that we're supposed to do it, then the Bible's going to tell us how to do it right. Amen. So let's go to Lord again in prayer, and I'll try to deliver the message tonight. Dear Father, I love you tonight. I thank you for the great honor and privilege to stand in this pulpit once again. Lord God, more than anybody in here, I have been blessed, and I know that. And I thank you for it, and I don't take any credit for any of it. And I marvel more every single day when I wake up and realize that I'm not where I deserve to be, here or in eternity. And Lord God, I just thank you for this church and their friendship, their prayers, their encouragement, their kindness. And I pray that tonight you'd reward them with their kindness by bearing witness to this message. And may it make sense. May it help. And God, I'm not even capable of explaining anything that would make sense unless you get in it, unless you get on it. And I pray that you would. And Father, if you will, I sure thank you for it. Thank you for what you've done the last couple of nights. And we just pray and ask, Lord God, you'd move in our midst as only you can. For the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we meet, we ask it. Amen. All right, now, so we're talking about righteous judgment tonight. And so let me give you the definition of judge. As a transitive, I guess, verb, it means this: to try, to examine, to pass sentence on. All right? To rightly understand and discern, to rule or govern, even to doom to punishment. That's what the word judge means. So it's a pretty serious concept, and we've been doing it kind of flagrantly all our lives, but I want to bring out the gravity of it tonight, not so that you stay away from it, but that's so you do it right. And so let me ask you, I'm not going to reread the definition, let me ask you something. Do you have the skills to do those things? Amen? To examine, to pass sentence on? Well, if you're commanded to judge all things, then you better acquire them. You better acquire them. That's why I'm going to try to help you with that tonight. As a noun, the word judge means this. One who has the skill to decide on the merits of a question. One who can discern truth and propriety. Imagine something. Are you qualified tonight to be a judge? Because if you come up to an area where your temptation and tendency is to make a decision, but in honesty, you're not qualified, then you do well to back out of that one. It says in Proverbs 31:9, open thy mouth, judge righteously. And since we're supposed to, I'm going to try to give you a couple things tonight, help you do it right, help you to judge righteous judgment. Now, this first one, it is of paramount importance. As you go to Isaiah 8, and I'm not going to try to be long tonight, and I'm not going to try to be short. I'm just going to try to say what God would have said. Amen. So you try to listen to the Lord, and maybe you're going to have to ignore me and get past me. But boy, don't turn off, don't quench the Spirit of God tonight. Amen. All right? Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, the Bible says this: to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So the first rule of judging, and we're commanded to judge, and he that is spiritual judges, but the first rule of judging is to judge according to Scripture. This is our, well, it is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. So the first rule of judging is keep it in this book. Now here's the problem. When you don't judge according to the Scripture, here's what happens. Your experience, or even worse, your opinion takes over. And then you make yourself out to be an authority. And I'm not going to offer it as a question whether or not you think you're qualified to do that. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to tell you straight from the platform, you're not qualified to do that. We're to judge all things, but beloved, that's what God gave us, a Bible. That's why He gave us parameters in every area of our life. And this one right here is very important. So I just want to say again, you better keep it in the Bible. Here's where the red flags need to go up. Well, I just think, that's what ought to tip you off that there's a problem. Amen. Now let me say this. You're allowed to have your own thoughts, your own opinions, and your own preferences. I mean, we have that liberty in Jesus Christ. I'm not going to attempt to take that away from you, but I am going to say this. You're just not allowed to use your own opinions and thoughts and preferences as a basis for judging other people. You're not allowed to do that. And here's why. Here's why that's dangerous. God does not lay the same convictions on everybody or at the same time. Wherever you are in this garden, if you will, of God, wherever you are in your growth, amen, as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, everybody's not at the same place. And with that being said, who are you to judge anybody else? Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. I am a firm believer in personal convictions, Holy Ghost convictions. I've got some. Some of you don't have. And I'll tell you tonight, some of you might have some that I don't have. And thank God for the liberty that we have in Christ. Amen. Personal Holy Ghost convictions is what takes us from the realm of rules and regulations into a real personal relationship with the living God. Amen. But I got news for you. If the scripture is silent in an area on a subject, maybe you need to be silent on it too. The first rule of judging, and again, you're welcome to have your own thoughts. You can have your own thoughts, and if you keep your mouth shut, then you'll be less likely to stick your foot in it. And then when all the facts come together, well, you won't be eating your words. I'd say, how do you know that's how it works? Take a wild guess, man. I've been there. So it says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And so the first rule, we are Bible believers, are we not? And thank God. Amen. Listen, when my opinion starts to wander from that book, you get an evangelist in here that's lined up with that book. That's how it goes. And when this church starts singing Kumbaya out of an NIV, you're going to have to get another evangelist then, too. Because I got work to do. Amen. I'm trying to help Bible-believing Christians. And I, like Brother Dean, I don't care what brand they are. I know people that are proud of this. And then I know people that are just as proud of not being this. And I got news for you. Pride's a sin no matter where you fall on that line. Amen. That's good preach. Hold on a second. Good preaching, Brother Spurgeon!
Yeah, that's right.
That's what you gotta do. Well, some places, I don't have to amen myself here. You guys are the exception to just about every rule I can think of. That's a compliment. It really is. All right. So, now, what was number one again? Not you. I know you're listening. You better be listening. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So you can straighten out this revival next week. That's what you got to take a note for. All right. So the first rule of judging is, listen, we're Bible believers. Let's judge according to the Word of God. Amen. Amen. And but the second rule, Ecclesiastes 12. Second rule for judging. All right, let me see. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Look what it says there. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Wow,
That's a novel concept. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Don't add to that. Don't take away from that. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Let us hear, here's rule number two, rules for judging, 101, okay? There's a little class we're having tonight. Rule number two is make sure you have all the facts. Make sure you have all the facts. And you better be real careful about forming an opinion without hearing the whole matter. Amen. And if you're not able to hear both sides of the thing, then you ought to be real careful about forming an opinion. You can think what you want, but don't open your mouth. Amen. I had a lady come to me in Toledo, Ohio, I think. And it started like this. And this works. This must work with some people. Too many people, to be honest with you. It doesn't work with me. I was on the street a long time. I know more about people than this. Some of you know, too. This lady comes up to me after I preach. She says, "Oh, Brother Spurgeon, that was just a wonderful message. I can't remember when I heard a message." Buddy, I'm going to tell you what. The flag go up all day long when people start flattering you. I already know what time it is. When people start doing stuff like that, amen, it means what? It means they want something. Yeah, that's right. That's why the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Amen. This lady, so she starts a conversation like this. Already, man, I know what time it is. My guard's up. And then she says this, "Brother, there's something on my heart, and I would really like to get your opinion on it." So I looked at her, and I said, "Ma'am, I could give you my opinion on this before I even hear it." Now, if she thought I was tapped into God because of that eloquent message that I... Okay, nobody's ever accused me of being eloquent. I don't even know what it means. But I don't want to know either. But if she was convinced I was tapped in because of the preaching, she really thinks I'm connected now because I'm going to answer the question before I even hear it. And she's looking at me all anticipatory. Is that a word? Help me out later, honey. I'm sorry, Mrs. Wonderful. And I said, "Well, I can answer the question already." She goes, "You can?" I said, "Yeah, you need to go ask your pastor." That's what I told her. I said, "You need to ask your pastor." And, you know, and she had this look on her face, very disappointed when I said that. Of course, it didn't take long to figure out why. She already had. She already had asked her pastor. She'd already run it by her, whatever her scheme was, and I found out later, whatever it was she was trying to justify to herself and get some confirmation from another preacher on, is because she'd run it by her pastor and she didn't hear what she wanted to hear. Amen. So she was going to just keep asking people until they said, "Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that." That's what she's looking for. Christians do that all the time. Let me tell you something, man. They're never going to give you all the facts. So you better be real careful. Now, in Bible school, yes, I know some of you are amazed, but I actually did go to Bible school. Amen. But in Bible school, we had one of the instructors was an evangelist for a long time out of Lansing, Michigan. And he taught us this in one of the classes long before I ever dreamed that God would let me do this. And he said, two things. If you're ever out preaching, it's somewhere where nobody knows you and you don't know them, beware of two things. First of all, beware of flattery. Now, that's what I just told you. Because I had been trained and because of my experience on the street, that was an easy one for me. I already know how that works. So, and then he said this. Be real careful. Be real careful when people ask for your opinion. And he's talking, and I'm a Bible school student, so I'm just listening. And he said, they will, I'm talking about 99.9% of the time, they will never give you all the information. They'll just reveal to you just enough, usually about 40%, give you enough of the scenario so that you'll, like I said, Yeah, okay, sounds good. I don't see anything wrong with that. Then they're going to take your opinion and they're going to go back to their pastor and say, well, Brother Spurgeon's in the ministry. Brother Spurgeon's been around. Brother Spurgeon said it was okay. And you're not using me like that. And you know what? My wife knows better, too. Amen. So that's my number one counseling advice even now. Unless you can get all the facts, you better be real careful about judging a matter, or somebody will use you to get what they want. And sometimes, even not even seriously on purpose. It's just, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. All right? So, number one was judge according to the Scripture, but number two is make sure you have all the facts. It says, even though people won't give you all the information, let me remind you in verse 14 of Ecclesiastes 12, the Bible says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And the problem is, we're prone to judge on incomplete information. Could I tell you, God, on the other hand, knows every single detail? You've heard the saying, everybody's heard the saying, if I wasn't an evangelist, I could illustrate it by actually having a coin. You got a quarter? Got a nickel? You got anything? You don't have any money. You got any change? Who's got? Get some. Okay, we're going to stop everything. I know. You put all the change in the offering. All right, how about a 50? You got a 50? Okay, thank you. You don't need that back, do you? Okay, good. No, I'll give it back. I'll give it back. You've heard this saying. There are two sides to every coin. That's what we're talking about. It's getting all the facts. Hearing the whole conclusion of the matter. Everybody just presents themselves with the details. It's not even like they're lying. They're just not telling you everything. Amen? So there's two sides to every coin. You got to remember that, right? Because pastors got to know this because they counsel. And evangelists, they don't. They just change engines. But so there's two sides to every coin. So there's that side. And you could describe that in great detail, and it would be 100% accurate. But whoa, 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 that's not what's going on here. So, and everybody knows the same. There's two sides to every coin. Could I submit to you that there are three sides to every coin? All right? There's that side, heads, tails, but there's another side. You stood that thing, and I sure couldn't do it. But if you could stand that thing right like that, on edge, that side there, that's not mama's side, that's not daddy's side, that's God's side. And God's in the judging business, and God will judge righteous judgment. And he tells us to judge, and we're supposed to. But, buddy, it's a serious thing. Thank you, sis. It's a serious thing, and we better do it right. You better have all the information. You better keep that in mind. Here's what we like, though. Somebody will come to us, and we start getting a big head. Oh, wow, here's my chance. You know, here's your chance to be set up and end up looking like a fool at the end of that thing. So let me say it again. Unless you intend or are able to get all the facts on a subject from both sides, yeah, you better be real careful because you're probably not qualified to stick your nose in that one. You hear me? You hear me? Yeah. Hello?
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to wake up the amen section once in a while. That's okay. All right. And so now take your Bible, go to Proverbs 24. Rules for judging. Amen. Rules for judging tonight. Judge righteously. Judge righteous judgment. I forgot what I named it. So did you, though, so it doesn't matter. Proverbs 24 and verse 23. I'm going to give you another. We're going to work through here, and you're going to be down there with the cookies because, you know, you don't go home anyway. I know that. So don't even act like you're in a hurry. Proverbs 24 and verse 23, the Bible says this. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons. What's it say? In judgment. That's what we're talking about. Judgment. It says it's not good to have respect of persons. So number one rule is to judge according to Scripture. And if the Bible's not clear on it, maybe you better take note of that. And then the second one is make sure you have all the facts. That's the easy one. That's the easy one to get messed up on because our flesh wants to start putting our 2 cents worth in. So the third rule, though, is judge fairly. Judge fairly. You got to make sure you judge fairly. It is not good to have respect of persons. Now, we're glad, especially when it comes to salvation, that God is no respecter of persons. But the problem is, we are. We are. And sometimes we blow it as far as point two. We don't examine all the facts because we don't care about all the facts. We judge based on what we want to believe or who we want to believe. And that's not judging fairly. And so I want to say to you, be careful of overlooking or ignoring or covering up for a family or a friend while you're ready and quick to nail other people to the wall for doing the same thing. Better real careful of that, because nothing will destroy your credibility faster than playing favorites. You hear me? The devil's got a whole world poised on the edge of its seat to find fault with us, and there's nothing that'll make it true for them to point to you and say, you're a hypocrite. Nothing will make that more true than having a double standard when it comes to judging. So it's important to what? Judge fairly. Judge fairly. There's one set of parameters, and the Lord God held Jesus Christ to those parameters, didn't he? Well then, so shall he hold us to them. We're supposed to judge. We're commanded to judge. It's part of being a Christian. But a lot of times we get in trouble because we don't do it right at all. And this is just an area where, God forbid, your flesh be running the show. All right? Take your Bible, go to 1 Kings chapter 3. I'll give you another one. 1 Kings chapter 3, rules for judging. 1 Kings chapter 3. And the Bible says this somewhere, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Ask what I shall give thee. We're all familiar with that story, and chances are that if I was to ask in a room of Bible believers, what did Solomon ask for? We know God was impressed that he didn't ask for riches and he didn't ask for power. He didn't ask those things. God was impressed because of what this young man asked for. And if I was to ask in a room, take a survey, whatever like that, most people would say, including me, before I study this out, most people are going to say that Solomon asked for wisdom. And that's not it. That's not it. And I'm going to show you what it is. Verse 6, and Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Verse 7, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child, I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Solomon is rightfully humble that the task of being the king of Israel and not his kingdom, of God's kingdom, God's people, he acknowledges that in verse 8, is like overwhelming. It's too big for him. Amen? And so here's what he asked for. Verse number 9. Based on those facts, this is what he asked God for. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great people. Amen. So great a people. You know what he asked for? This is one of the rules of judging. He asked for an understanding heart. He asked for an understanding heart to judge. He asked for good judging ability. And verse 10 says, and the speech pleased the Lord. That Solomon had asked this thing. You want to please the Lord? Amen. When you come into a situation where you need to make a judgment call, amen. It'd be a good thing to do to get a hold of this thing right here instead of just automatically answering or snapping to judgment based on, maybe you should, my Bible says it, in all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. And it'd be a good idea, the responsibility to make a judgment call amongst a Christian because they're whose? They're his. His people, he acknowledged it was too great for him, and I'm telling you, it's too great for you. It says this in Romans 14:4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant to his own master he standeth or falleth? Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. I'm going to tell you what, this thing, Solomon was overwhelmed by the great responsibility to make the judgment that he was going to have to make as a king, and that's the proper attitude. The Bible said before, honor is humility. And so one of the rules of judging is to ask God for good judging ability. Here's why it's important. The definition of a judge, one who has the skill to decide on the merits of a question, one who can discern truth and propriety, and to have the skill necessary to discern truth and priority, in other words, to judge fairly, you're going to have to ask God for them. You're going to have to ask God like Solomon did. For an understanding heart. Amen. Praying for good, wise judging ability is one of the rules. And if you're not willing to do that, you better get out of the judging business. You hear me tonight? All right. James chapter 2. I'm almost done. Some of you already are. So we'll meet in the middle somewhere. James chapter 2. And rules for judging, just practical Christianity. Amen. This isn't some pump it up meeting. We're going to try to get something out of it that we can apply. Amen. Amen. Something that you can implement in your walk with Jesus Christ, in your desire, Lord willing, in your effort to draw nigh to him in the days and weeks. And I hope it's not years to come. I hope he comes back and gets us. But if he doesn't, we want to be found faithful, right? We want to be found doing right. All right. And so James chapter 2 and verse 13, rule number, whatever number it is, I think it's 5. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So let me say this, judge mercifully. My preacher told me this years and years ago, David, learn to judge mercifully and forgive easily. Forgive real easily. And as I listened, he kept talking, he said, this is why. Because that's the way you're going to want it when your time comes. You're going to want people to judge you mercifully, and you're going to want people to forgive you easily. And that Bible teaches you're going to get it the way you give it. Matthew chapter 1. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to look at the most famous verse on judging in your entire Bible. For the lost and the liberal alike. Everybody knows Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 1. So we're not going to shy away from it either. Let's look and see what the passage, I didn't say the verse, I said the passage has to say. Matthew chapter 7, we're talking about the importance of judging mercifully. And so it says in verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged. Everybody seems to know that one. Amen. Even though they all do it every day too. Amen. They just, when they say that, they don't want you judging them. Amen. And then verse 2 says this. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Wait, I thought it said not to judge. Yeah, well, but you do. And you're going to. And that's the way we're wired. So then he gives you some parameters right here and puts it in a way that we can, Lord willing, comprehend. He says in verse 2, again, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. Amen. So, again, you better learn to judge mercifully. Keep right there in Matthew 7. Judge mercifully and forgive easily. Don't make people grovel for forgiveness, because you're not going to want to. Amen. Don't you make somebody grovel. We're supposed to forgive. God forgave you. Amen. You better not be any harder on somebody else than you're going to want them to be on you. Because you ain't perfect either. None of us are. All right. So Matthew chapter 7. And the last one was judge mercifully. But let's look in verse 3. And I'll wrap this up. Verse 3, Matthew 7, and the Lord keeps going and he says, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Now, you know, I mean, the context gives you an idea of what's going on, but I looked the word mote up. Mote. And M-O-T-E, it is a tiny particle. It could be a dust particle, who cares? It's a tiny particle. And so what the Lord's saying is, why are you wondering about a tiny particle in somebody else's eye when you have a beam in your own eye? I mean, that's pretty clear. Listen, Goliath's spear was as a weaver's beam. Now, I looked that up. I did some history on that. A weaver's beam was about 3 inches in diameter. 3 inches in diameter. So here you got Goliath, 9'6", whatever he was, standing there with a pole, lodge pole, amen, that's over taller than he was, with an 18-pound spearhead. That's a pretty good-sized beam. And you read about that in 1 Samuel 17, you get all the way over here to Matthew chapter 7, and the Lord says, that's what you got in your eye, pal. And what in the world are you trying to, how in the world can you look around that To see the ridiculousness of that is real obvious, isn't it? So why does the Lord say it like that? Because that's how ridiculous it is when we judge others when we've got plenty of faults of our own. Or how is it, verse 4, how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, and behold, a beam. Now, I don't want anybody getting close to me with a beam in their eye. They sure aren't going to see my problem and they can't see their own. That's the danger. Verse 5, thou hypocrite! First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Listen, that mote might need to come out. That mote might be irritating to him. It might be a real blessing if you could help him get that thing out. But you're going to have to judge yourself before you can ever be a help to anybody else. 1 Corinthians 11 and 31 says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Amen? You know why we don't judge ourselves like we ought to? Well, because you might have to admit you're wrong about something. And that's what we don't want to do. Even Christians. Amen. Listen, don't let pride... Don't let your pride keep you from admitting to yourself that you're not perfect. Here's why. Because you're absolutely the only one you've got fooled anyway. Romans chapter 2 and verse 1 says, Thou therefore art unexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same thing. Listen, we're commanded to judge, and I don't want to be condemned for judging wrong. Amen. And God's not like we were on the street, put people in a trick bag, and there's no way they can do it right. God's not like that. So he tells us to judge, and he warns us about not judging ourselves first because we could condemn ourselves. So what does he do? He gives us some parameters. He gives us some rules for judging. He wants us to judge righteously. Judge not. Back then, John 7:24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So we're commanded to judge, but we also need to understand we got to do it right. So make sure you judge according to Scripture. You follow me? If you don't nod your head, I will start over. And then the big hook will come out. I'm always nervous when there's a door closed. You know? Amen. All right, let me give them to you again. Judge according to Scripture. Make sure you have all the facts. Judge fairly. All right? Judge fairly. Ask God for good judging ability. Judge mercifully. And judge yourself. Amen? Now, with that being said, and I am done. But maybe you need to ask yourself this. Maybe you need to ask yourself about whether or not, or maybe you flat out know that you need to make some adjustments in how you judge. You might need to make a point to ask God for jumps to conclusions or not hearing the whole matter or judging based on your friends or your family. That's not the right way to do it. That's not the right way to do it. You're setting yourself up for a hard lesson. And God says, you can get a hard lesson or you can listen to what I told my preacher to say tonight and you can deal with it while it's still between me and you. And so maybe somebody in here, there's no doubt in my mind, personally, needs to ask God to forgive them because you've done on one or two or all of those things, you've done it wrong. So that's why the Lord directs somebody to preach, to help us. And it may just be possible, and Brother Dean talks about revival. I'm going to tell you what gets the Lord's attention. When we'll humble ourselves and go to a brother or sister who we have not judged mercifully, or we haven't forgiven easily, and ask them to forgive us. And if something like that needs to go on in here tonight, boy, I'll tell you what, I know that's hard. It's like getting saved. It's hard until you finally do it. And then you think, why did I wait so long? And forgiveness is the same way. But then the peace is restored and the fellowship is restored. And you can just get on and you're a notch closer to God. Something needs to be dealt with? Well, come on, let's deal with it. Preacher, you come.
I have no doubt in knowing Brother Spurgeon all these years that these messages are prayed over. They're not just things picked out of a briefcase. I know these things are prayed over and God puts on his heart because he asks the Lord to do that. The message that our church needs. I always try to take it to heart, to me personally, first. But I know that message tonight was for First Bible Church. Judging righteous judgment. Not only was it a great message, but it is a truth that we got to get down in our hearts. We need to get it in First Bible Church. There's a lot of unrighteous judgment that goes on here. And I think if we're honest, we've probably broken every one of those points that the preacher brought out tonight at one time or another. Just judged according to the appearance of a thing, didn't get all the facts, didn't judge fairly, didn't ask God first for an understanding heart. Because even after you've looked well into a matter, there are still things you can't see and you can't know. Only God can know them. And the Spirit of God can help you. I'm guilty. How many times have we judged unmercifully? We want satisfaction. We want that pound of flesh. And unfortunately, many times we've judged without looking at our own heart first. And I'll bet you the Spirit of God could help this church be a lot more pleasing to Him, that if any of this hit your heart tonight, if you would come and let's make it right with God. Maybe you examine yourself and you say, I don't remember if I've ever done that. I can't think of times when I've judged poorly, when I've judged hastily, when I've judged hypocritically. You know, maybe you're not guilty. Maybe it's never happened to you. Maybe you've never hurt somebody by judging unrighteous judgment. But it's likely that a lot of us in this room are guilty. So why don't we all just assume tonight that God had that message just for us? Why don't we take it personally? Take it personally that it was intended for us. And if it hits home, as we sing this song, we're going to have someone come. I don't know, Chris, you still here? Okay, Pix, Brother Pat, we're going to sing. We'll stand together, we'll sing a hymn. If God was dealing with your heart, how about we have a time right now, we can just get all that taken care of together. Wouldn't that be a blessing? And you know, it might mean that you not only need to come down here and talk to the Lord about it, but you might need to walk across the other side of the church and talk to somebody else about it. You might need to just go to somebody that you've been guilty of just judging poorly, judging in an unrighteous way, and maybe just get it right between you and them privately. Talk to them one-on-one. Be reconciled. If something hasty, you know, hasty and in some judgment in the flesh has put you at odds with somebody in here. Because all of that, even though you think it's just a private matter between you and that person, that thing affects the whole spirit of our church. It does affect our whole church. If we can get those little things right here and there, you know what? This whole place will be a little sweeter. Amen? Amen. That was God's message to First Bible Church tonight. So let's not just ignore it and go down and have coffee. Let's let God, if God spoke to your heart tonight, why don't we take a minute and let's get it right. Okay? Let's stand together. Brother Pat.
394. 394. I surrender all.
Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.